So anyway, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me again today. I just wanted to, I've got a recording going on right now.
Okay.
And I just wanted to go through and you know, hear you tell me again about Minx, how you got her, and, you know, the relationship you had with Becky Harrisoff. And, you know, I just wanted you to, you know, kind of run through the story of Minx for me.
Ramble, huh?
Yeah, exactly. If you would, please.
Fine.
So, as I understand it, you got it from a guy named...
C. Raymond Westcott.
Right. And the story goes that it was... This is my understanding, anyway. The story goes that the boat was in the Harrisoff plant during the 1938 hurricane, and it got wrecked, and Sidney rebuilt it.
Well, that part of the story, I can only say I'm aware of part of that.
Mm-hmm.
It was wrecked in the hurricane of 38, but where it was wrecked, I have no idea.
Oh.
Becky told me that it was wrecked and she wanted a boat to teach Nat the Third and Halsey to sail in, and she bought it for $126. But where that was, if she ever told me, I don't remember it. But I don't remember any story of it being wrecked in the plant, but obviously Sidney, when he rebuilt it, probably rebuilt it in the plant.
Right, right.
I can't quite say where it was wrecked.
All right.
Yeah.
A couple of questions. We had spoken about the fact that the hardware on the boat was chromed.
Yes, it was all chromed.
And what was that originally like that? Do you know?
No, I don't know. I never really asked, but every piece of hardware on it was chromed, and interestingly, all the cleats and a lot of the hardware were all stamped with the, you know, that Harrisoff logo,
mm-hmm.
where it says Harrisoff Bristol,
mm-hmm.
Where the Harrisoff was in script. They were all stamped with it somewhere, and then chromed.
Huh.
And I don't know who did that or...
I'm sure that was done by the factory.
Well, I'm sure it was done by the factory. Probably done for the chief engineer, huh?
Yeah, right. I understand you were saying that the mast was a little bit special on Minx.
I thought it was. The mast was a Marconi rigged mast, and it was apparently made in two pieces. And if you looked at it carefully, it was glued up with the half and half, with the, say, a port and starboard, with the glue seam going fore and aft on the mast.
Mm-hmm.
And but as I recall, the grain of the wood on one side was perpendicular to the grain of the wood on the other side. And I looked at that and wondered, I wonder why they did that. Is that to stiffen it up so that when they glue it together, it won't tend to warp or shift the two grains, or whatever reason.
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe it was an attempt to minimize movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I felt the mast was light, and I always wondered, did anybody ever hollow it out before they glued it up?
That could be.
But I never asked. Halsey never discussed it with Halsey, and...
So the boat was rebuilt by Sidney. I guess it was probably, you know, pretty specially well done.
I felt it was. The mast that you were talking about, the mast, was interesting. It was round at the bottom up to about the gooseneck. And then just above the gooseneck, it went to a almost a teardrop section.
Hmm.
A fat teardrop. It was round in the forward side, and then the sides would slope back slightly and curve off at the after side, and the sail track was just screwed to the after side of the mast. But it was a lot of round masts like that. They might stick a piece of wood down there to put the track on.
Mm-hmm.
And this one didn't have it because of the shape of the mast.
Yeah, I think I had a 12 and a half, a regular one, and it had a round mast, and there was a sail track screwed onto it.
Right, the round wood itself?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, this one had the other shape. In fact, I was thinking after you called this morning that the first time I ever saw that boat, I took a trip up to Bristol just to look around before I got married in 1949. And there were two or three of these boats sitting right off where Sydney and Becky lived, right off Love Rocks there next to where Nat had lived. And it was in the morning I went past there, and the sun was shining on the masts, and there was no question about Target sitting there had a wider mast. When you looked at it from the side, there was a bigger dimension fore and aft than it was
on
North Trips.
So, and then you donated, how did this work? You donated the boat back to the museum and Halsey was excited to have it?
Yeah, well, we went up there to the first rendezvous in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time I'd had the boat for 18 years. And I really, at that point, was ready to buy a dough dish. I was doing a lot of maintenance work on the boat. It had been raced hard by Halsey, it had been raced hard by Ray Westcott, and it had been raced hard by Owen Brooks for 18 years in Great South Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was putting screws in every year and doing different things to keep it going. And Jonathan, he was really gung-ho. He wanted another boat. He sailed it a lot, but he was hoping I'd get a dough dish, and I figured it was about time, so I had already ordered one before I went up for the rendezvous. And I was just thinking about selling the boat and how much could I sell it for and so on. But we went up for the rendezvous, and John and I raced, and we broke down in the race.
Oh.
We had, Halsey and I had gone out sailing the night before, and Halsey had commented about the beautiful splice that was in the bottom of the mast. I wanted to save the bottom of the mast, but we'd had a, several years before, we'd had a rigging failure when it was blowing hard out there, and we lost the mast over the side, it cracked.
Hmm.
And so I brought it back into the boatyard here, and they made up a piece that had a long V on the bottom, a long V on the top that they worked into the pieces that we wanted to save. So there was only about 2 inches of new mast in the middle in these pieces, and they glued everything up and put it together, and we raced it for several years, and Halsey admired that. But when John and I were racing it, I think there were 18 boats sailing, and we were on the last leg on in second place, coming up behind the lead boat that I wanted to blanket, and we had the spinnaker set. And the glue started to fail.
Oh.
I've thought many times, wouldn't it have been something if Halsey made a big thing at the start of that race? They fired the cannon, and the guy who was closest to the cannon complained afterwards that the award of prizes, they shot a hole through his sail. And they let him do something during the award of prizes, and I thought to myself, wouldn't it have been something after that if we just been able to cross the finish line in first place and gotten the cannon and had the whole rig go over the side? But it didn't work that way. We we had to drop out. And so at that point, the night before, I talked to Halsey about wanting to sell the boat. And I asked him if he knew anybody who might want the boat. And I had a idea of what the price would be that I could get out of it. And before we got through, we decided to leave it there because I didn't want to tow it home with, we had our motorboat there. We towed it all the way up from Great South Bay on Long Island.
Wow.
With my 1929 Matthews cabin cruiser. And we towed largely with the line around the mast so that we had a good, not too much strain on the bow cleat.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wasn't happy with taking it home, and I didn't know what I was going to do at that point. So Halsey and I had talked about possibly getting an appraisal, and he knew what I was looking for, and he got the appraisal I was looking for, and I came to the conclusion that if I gave it away
for a tax donation or a deduction,
I'd save on New York State and federal capital gains tax, because I had paid $1,200 for it. I think by that time it was up to, I got it appraised for $4,000,
mm-hmm.
18 years later. And I looked at the whole thing and said, it's break even to me, so
right.
Let's give it away and then have it in a good spot.
Yeah, and then it kind of went home in a way, you know?
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what we did.
So, I understand that you had just mentioned that Owen Brooks raced her hard. I understand that you're quite an accomplished sailor.
Well, I don't know about that. Somebody said to me one time, when did you learn to sail? And I said, I'm still learning.
Well, there you go.
Every time I go out.
Right.
But, yeah, we sailed a long time. I had, my first boat when I was 15, and now I'm 86, so, but I had been commodore of the sailing club here in town, and then I was in the Escatuck Yacht Club, and I belonged to another club that I raced in, and we have 19 clubs on Great South Bay that go from Shinnecock, which is about almost out to the Peconic Bay on the south side, all the way into Kennedy Airport, and there are 19 clubs, and I was president of that Yacht Racing Association for a while, too, so I was involved with some sailing here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another question about Minx. I don't know, I think we had this discussion, but her hull number has always been a real interesting question.
Yeah.
I think it's number 1376, the builder's plate.
Well, that's what the plate said.
Right. And the interesting thing is, in the Harrisoff builder's record, it distinctly says that 1376, the contract for it was canceled and it was never built.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another notation in that builder's record that there was a group of boats, there's 20 of them, of which 1376 was one, that specifically state that there was a mix-up between the shop and the office, and that the hulls weren't actually delivered as they were recorded. So what that really means to me is 1376 was used on Target, and another one of those 20 has got a missing hull number, and you know, we'll never know which one is which.
Well, one of the things that I had mentioned to you before, I think, was that looking at some of the information on the from your
registry.
Study the registry, I was speculating that it was probably that Target or Mix was built in 1936 and possibly is either 1278, 1279, 1282, 1284, 1288 or 1291, so that's what, six boats.
Yeah, I don't think it could go as well. I'd have to look. There was 20 of them in the class that 1376 would have been a member of.
Yeah.
It started with 1364, and I don't know if it went up to 1384. It might have gone up to a few more than that because there were maybe other boats, not 12s, that were given hull numbers in there. So I think the numbers that you just speculated, it's probably one of those.
Well, they were earlier, but the reason I speculated there is They're the only ones that I could find in the registries that were unknown boats that had the same construction characteristics as Minsk. They also listed 1281 as unknown, but I know that one was Bob Gregory's boat, and I knew that one here, and he came and saw a target when I first got it. I called him up, and he and Fred Hart came to look at the boat one night to see what the third one here on the bay looked like. But they had, those earlier boats had the a whole series of things, the type of fittings they had, the trim, the Marconi trim,
the mahogany,
the bow shock, the swinging open mast bale,
right,
and all of those things were fittings that stopped, didn't they, in 1937 for the most part.
There was a couple of changes in the way that the fittings were, and I think it was 1937, if I'm not mistaken, or the very end of 1936, when they switched from an opening mast bale to a, you know, one-piece casting.
Right, right.
But I think...
The Traveler, too, was...
The Traveler was different, the bow chocks were different.
Yeah.
I think... interestingly enough, those chrome-plated ones that are on Minsk, they're of the older style, but they have the chrome plating on them, I think.
Right, that's right. In fact, in your registry, you have the picture of the transom on Target.
I think Adam took that picture.
I see. Well, it certainly shows the chrome-plated Traveler, and I know it's my boat, and because I look at the tiller was broken too, and Adam and Jonathan were out in the boat and got in a hassle with a quote some acquaintances of theirs who jumped on board and broke the tiller.
Oh, really?
So they had to get towed in, and the owner of the boat was very livid, I'll tell you.
That would be you, right?
That's right. But you can see it's riveted together in the in that picture. So I know it's from that picture. It's must have been taken up in the museum.
Right.
Yeah. But for all those reasons, I always said that from what you said, if there was a just going through the boats in there, if it isn't 1376, I was sort of doing a study on which one could it be, and I sort of came to the conclusion that might have been one of those six.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying that it's not 1376.
Yeah.
It might be that it is 1376, and where the builder's record said 1376 wasn't built, maybe, you know, one of those ones that you just mentioned was the one that wasn't built.
Right, but if it really was 1376, and they changed all the fittings, that when Sidney Herzog rebuilt it, he must have had some of the older fittings to put on the boat all the way through.
Right, and maybe he had them and had them chromed. Maybe.
Yeah,
he would certainly be one of the ones who would be able to do that. Well, I guess that's really what I wanted to hear, Mr. Brooks, your relation of the tale of Target. I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to mention, but if not, I do appreciate your taking the time.
Well, I wanted to mention it was a great boat to sail, I'll tell you that. And I always felt that it had some characteristics some of the other ones didn't. I got pictures that I don't know whether my wife or my daughter took them in that first rendezvous where they had it up in Bristol, and we were very conservative. I felt I was sailing around in a museum piece with 17 other museum pieces, and I didn't want any collisions or anything else in the crowded start of that first race up there, that race we were in. And we had a very conservative start, and there's one picture that showed us way, way back in the pack, and right next to us is a Fisher's Island bullseye with a Genoa jib. And as you look at these pictures, they were taking several pictures in a matter of a few hundred feet. Why, it looked as if we had a motor in target just sailing through them and up towards
well,
the front of the fleet. And we went around that way. As I say, we were coming into the finish. We were in second place, just right back of Frolic, which was... Halsey would have been delighted if we'd beaten Frolic, because Frolic was from Bristol, and he and the owner of Frolic always used to race very tightly together with their two boats, and I didn't know that at the time, but we're coming up on the boat that won the race and doing very well.
Frolic is still in Bristol.
Yes, yeah. But the boat had a very nice touch of speed that would go. She sail well, and
well, like I said, I appreciate your taking the time. I'm going to record, make a recording out of this, and I don't know if you'd like a what, do you use a computer?
No, I don't. I'm computerless.
Okay, well then.
When I retired, I made a decision not to have a computer.
That'll make it difficult for me to get you a copy of the thing, but maybe I can make a tape or something and send it to you.
Well, why don't you make one and send it? You got Jonathan's address, don't you? He may.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd probably like one.
Okay, I can do that. Yeah, that's what I'll do.
He's the big 12.5 enthusiast right now, and has been for all his life.
Okay. Well, again, I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Do you still have a boat, or do you?
No, I don't have. No, I sold my 12.5 to buy a 15, and I restored the 15, and somebody came along and gave me an ungodly sum of money for it. So right now, I don't have a boat at all. But that situation will be corrected one of these days.
Well, I may be boatless soon myself. I think Jonathan would love to get my dotage up on Lake Champlain so we can have a boat.
I won't tell him you said that.
Quite frankly, yes. When I was sailing this fall at 86, I said, alone, I said, you know, realistically, if something really went wrong on the boat, which heaven forbid happens, but you lose the rig over the side because one fitting quits or something like that, I'm not sure I really am at the point where I want to be out there crewless.
No, I understand.
So, I don't know. At some point, you have to look at things and use your head.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
All righty, then.
Okay, well, it's nice talking with you, Steve.
Yeah, maybe I'll get to talk to you again one of these days.
That would be nice. It'd be nice to see you somewhere along the line.
Okay, yeah, I would love to meet you, too.
Good.
Thanks very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Bye-bye now.
Right. Bye.